time. That's how he lived. He lived in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. And when you live in that arena, then it removes the stress and the turmoil from your life to where you are just dependent upon your Father, because he also had this mindset: I only say what I hear my Father saying, and I only do what I see him doing.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100, or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
I want to commence reading at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 9, beginning at verse 9, recorded are these words. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. For if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to talk about wisdom worth finding. Wisdom worth finding. The writer of Proverbs opened up this chapter dealing with the sevenfold reality of the wisdom that is before us. And it starts in verse 1 saying, wisdom hath built her house. She had hewn out her seven pillars. There have been some who have suggested that the seven were seven principles, but a further investigation will reveal that it wasn't necessarily seven principles, because they would be too few in the reality of the fullness of what wisdom offers. But seven was represented in that it meant fullness and completeness. It meant wholeness. It meant lacking nothing. To have the wisdom of God would give to one the ability to walk, talk, live in this life in such a way that he or she would not lack anything if the Lord were the resource of that wisdom. So the Bible says, again, verse 2, she had killed her beasts, she had mingled her wine, she had also furnished her table. She had sent forth her maidens, she cried upon the highest places of the city. And this is an invitation given by wisdom, saying that I prepared for you all of the necessary things of life, that if you will partake of me in every area of your life, in every arena of your life, in every avenue of your life, I've already prepared substance. And I've already prepared enough that you, if you partake of me, will have a fullness of understanding so that nothing in no arena, no avenue, or no place would ever confound you, because I, wisdom, will have filled you with enough to satisfy not only your longing, but your needs. Then it says, verse 4, whoso is simple, and it says, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she said to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. And notice what it says in verse 6, forsake the foolish and do what? And live and go in the way of understanding. Now it's interesting because the contrast here is between wisdom and foolishness. And five verses prepare you for what wisdom has done in preparation for those who will seek wisdom. But the only thing that's said about foolishness is that you ought to forsake it. Amen. Foolishness doesn't take preparation. Foolishness doesn't take planning. Foolishness doesn't take anything that's necessary that will bring about anything worthy. You don't have to be smart to be a fool. You don't have to be wise to be a fool. You don't have to go through any learning to be a fool. You can just do what you want to do and be big enough fool. But I want you to see something here, because notice verse 4 say, whoso is simple. Now, simple meaning simply those who are not yet with the knowledge, that desire the knowledge, not as in simple in those who don't want the knowledge. Again, it says, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, to that person, whosoever it may be, if you'll turn in here, if you come in simple and desire understanding, you will not leave the same way you came. Verse 5 says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Now, among the Jews and the Greeks and the Romans, those who were supposed to be holy, they took wine, but they did not ever drink wine straight in its unmingled or uncut form. They mingled wine, which means they would take one part of wine, depending on whether you were Jew or Greek or a Hebrew or Roman, rather, and you would break it down with one part wine and three parts water, or one part wine and four parts water, or one part wine and five parts water. But you had sense enough to know that if you wanted to have the effects of the drink without the defects of the drinks, you had to break it down and mingle it some. Now they were wise enough to be sociable, but yet they had sense enough to be wise. And so she's saying that my wine is pre-mixed. I'm not here trying to get you drunk. I am here because wine was used for celebrative occasions and to bring about an announcement of great things, et cetera, et cetera. So she's saying, listen, everything that's been prepared for you has been done with precaution and has been done with caution. And it is done so that you might receive the knowledge and the understanding and have celebrative cause to be able, once you have consumed me, to be better after the consumption than you were before. Now here it is, all of this is coming to a point, because what wisdom is saying to you now, that I want to share three things with you. I want to share with you how you ought to be disciplined, and then I want to share with you direction, and then I want to share with you how to make decisions. And you're going to note here that if you ever get the wisdom of God, you're going to have to be disciplined, and you're going to have to know how to do it God's way. But then notice here, wisdom will always be in a place, and wisdom will always take the lead in whatever direction God is leading you in. And it's one thing as we walk through the scripture to see these things unfold. It's another thing for you to just have Bible knowledge or have some truth in printed form and yet never have the understanding of those things. Amen. Look again at what the Bible says again, because now it's dealing with discipline. Because when you become wise, you begin to realize everybody else isn't wise. And you're going to have to know how to deal with unwise people. How many of you have ever come across fools? In the workplace? In the marketplace? In the church place? Oh, come on, they got them somewhere, everywhere. In your house?
Oh, yeah. So wisdom teaches you how to deal with folk like that. Now, look at what he says in verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Now, he's trying to tell you here, first of all, you can never impart wisdom to fools who don't want it. And you've got to be wise. See, that reaches a point where when you're disciplined and you understand and you operate within the confines of wisdom, you can tell by people's actions and by their outbursts and by their fellowship or by those things that they do, how to handle them. And when you know that there are some folk who say things to be seen, and you have some folk who say things to stir up stuff, and you know if you deal with a fool who's acting a fool, when you say something, that only make them act more foolish. You've got to know how to handle foolish folk like that. Look at what he says, because he's making something clear. A scorner get it to himself. You know, if you rebuke him or reprove a scorner, you will find yourself being made ashamed, because what you realize is when you're dealing with a fool and you've got some sense about you, you're like, you know, now we don't need to, you don't need to go there and do that. Oh no, you started this mess. What you mean? And they get out acting all foolish and everything. You're like, Lord have mercy, Jesus. Why didn't I leave this fool alone? Now I'm trying to help you here now. When you recognize a person is not where they ought to be, and you recognize all they're trying to do is cause attention to themselves, then you're going to realize the only person who will be shamed in that situation will be you, because there ain't no shame about them. They're acting up to be seen. They're acting up so they can get attention. Look at what the word says. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth to himself a blot. When you rebuke a wicked person, that person is always, his intent is to hurt, to harm, to destroy. When you rebuke a wicked person, their whole desire is to destroy you, to defame you, to bring you down, to do whatever it takes to in any way diminish you. And notice what he says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. If you don't reprove a scorner, then you don't have to worry about them hating you. But when you take somebody and you tell them, listen, you're wrong, you're out of place, you're out of order, don't do this, that, and the other, then they hate you for telling them right. Now listen at this, because this is the word. Wisdom will teach you that you can't deal with everybody on the same level. And sometimes if you try to deal with them on their level, you then resort to being like them on their level. Because if you know somebody does not know how to have an intelligent conversation, why talk to them? Because the moment they start getting, you know, all out of the box, as our young folks say, and start using some names and some words and start calling you some stuff. Now, everybody is saved who belong to the Lord, but everybody ain't converted. And some of y'all can sit here and act like you all converted now. But you know, let somebody talk. So you can't always walk away from some stuff. So if you can't walk away, it's best don't even get in it from the beginning. Because if you know you get hot under the collar quick, your temper still hadn't been lifting out yet, there are just some things you don't need to be a part of. Peacemakers are people who have the ability to keep their cool in the midst of a long burning fire. And folk know, if your ministry is not peacemaker, don't be trying to get in some stuff that you can't handle. Somebody strike a match and you have lost your temper that quick. Because listen at this. A fool already knows he or she is cursed, already on their way to hell, already defamed, already, you know, in that backstritten and backslidden way. And they ain't got nothing to lose. They ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. But if they pull you out of character and pull you out of your place and make you act a fool like them, you're the only one who's going to be made ashamed and feel like a fool in the midst of it. Because everybody knows. Now, why you let this person? You know they're a fool. You know this. I'm just trying to help you, because the word says you ought to be able to be disciplined. Now listen at this. Listen. It says, if you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Because what a wise person realizes, listen, hey, I know I don't have all of the wisdom, and if there's somebody with more wisdom than I have, and they are able to do a thing a certain way, if I know you love me enough to tell me I'm wrong and show me where I'm wrong at, and you're doing it with love, and it is a constructive criticism, then sense through wisdom will tell me I need to listen. If I want to grow, and I'm going to love you enough to know that you didn't have to come to me. You could have done like others and stood back and talked about me. But because of the wisdom, I have sense enough to know that it took something on your part to come and tell me this is not how it ought to be done, or this is the way you ought to handle this, or such and such, such and such. And then, listen at this, the wise person will love you because you thought enough to talk to them instead of talk about them. Look at what the word says, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Why? Because not only does he appreciate and love you for teaching him or her the truth, but then they will gain and utilize the truth. Have you ever had somebody who's been wiser than you share some things with you in life, and you've practiced those principles and received the profit from them? Did you not appreciate that person all the more so because they shared those wonderful things with you? And you got to realize people don't have to do these kind of things. And when they do those things, not only should you appreciate them, but you ought to also exercise the wisdom that they've imparted to you. Bible says, teach a just man and he will increase in learning. You don't know it all. I don't care how wise you are. You don't know it all. And a wise person realizes that wisdom is a continual growth process. Not only do I practice what I know, but when God provides an opportunity for me to know more, I am not going to get to that point where I know everything, feel like I know everything, you can't tell me anything, but rather I will gain knowledge and understanding from what you have shown or demonstrated to me. Now, have you ever talked to somebody who knows everything? I don't care what the subject is, they know something about everything you got to say. You start the sentence, they take it over, and finish it for you. Don't you really, after a while, get tired of talking to folk like that? And then even if you had some information that would benefit them, since they know it all, you say, well, I ain't gonna say nothing, they know it anyhow. And so you got to realize a wise person will take the stand that, listen, I can learn from anything and anybody if there's a lesson. You know, wise folk know that you can watch children, and children can teach you some things that you never thought. Wisdom will teach you that you can watch a fool and learn some things from a fool, because you can learn what you don't want to be and how you don't want to act and how you don't want to be perceived just by watching a fool. So don't think that you have to learn just from certain people on certain levels, because wisdom is all around us, and wisdom is always waiting to impart knowledge and understanding to those who will receive wisdom. Look at what the word says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you begin to reverence God and fear God, when you begin to desire God and know God, and you know that God is so awesome that God can take you out of here in a moment, when you understand he has a purpose and a plan for your life, and he also provides those realities for you through his word and in his spirit and all of these, when you begin to know God, because that's how you begin to really know wisdom, because God teaches you first through his written word, secondly through his living spirit, and he then takes that word and brings it alive in you, causes you to operate in that, and you know him through his word. You can never get, listen at this, closer to God without getting closer in his word. Amen. So if you really want to get closer to God, it's not just about spending more time with him. You've got to spend more time with him through his word. Because his word is his will is his way. You cannot separate him from his mind. His mind is recorded as the word has been spoken by him. When you want to know God, get in his word, know his word, and God will reveal to you his mind and his spirit. And I have fellowship, because when I have fellowship, what am I going to tell God? How can I tell the most wise God anything other than to tell him what he's already told me? And I begin to increase in wisdom and knowledge by simply saying to God what God has already said to me. And then in that same arena, when I take God's word and I present it back to God in fellowship, and I present it back to God in communication, when I present it back to God in the time I spend with him, God will then take that word that I have received from him and I present back to him, and in exchange for that, he will give to me understanding of his word. How many of you got in a scripture and you pondered that scripture and you didn't really understand it fully, but you got with God and you said, God, I want some understanding, and you spent time in the word seeking him, and then God began to reveal that scripture to you and unfold. See, you can have the knowledge just by having a Bible. But just because you have the knowledge don't mean you have the understanding. And you're going to understand that God brings that understanding through his word and in fellowship with him. So the beginning, listen, of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You can have knowledge, but the holy gets understanding with it. God gives to and delights in and brings to the heart and mind that seeks him understanding that is beneficial to put into practice, to make operable, to be able to bring to life the things that he said. Look at this, and I'm bringing this to a close. The benefits for the word of God is not just having discipline and not just having direction, but also being able to make the right decisions. And when you do that, your decisions are going to bring about consequences. And consequences are going to be the reward of the decisions that you've made. Good decisions, you'll be rewarded with good things. Bad decisions, you will have to deal with the consequences, and thus bad will come to you. Look at what the word says. For by me, wisdom, thy days shall be multiplied. For by me. Now, wisdom is saying, first of all, you've got to take one day at a time. But within each day are many opportunities, there are many decisions, and there are many temptations. If you walk with me each day and allow me to discipline you, to direct you and help you make the right decisions, then you're going to have an extra day added to your life. And that day from the next day will continue on into many days. But look at what it goes on to say, because it's a continuation of making the right decisions, being disciplined, and having direction. The rest of that verse says, and the years of thy life shall be what? Now, look at wisdom. Wisdom starts off by days. Because days make up what? Weeks. And weeks make up what? Months. And then months make up what?
Years.
And years. And listen at this. Long life is not promised to fools. Long life is promised to those who understand and practice the principles of God's word. So he's saying, listen here, before long years can be added to your life, you got to learn how to make it one day at a time. And you've got to learn how to apply the principles day by day. And after one day, because how many of you know you can walk out here today and do something foolish and your life ends today? But make the right decision, be disciplined, and follow the directive of wisdom, and you'll find out God will give you another day to make more decisions the right way that will glorify God, to give you more wisdom to operate in, and to do those things that will honor both God and you. Listen at this, and I want you to see. The Bible says again, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. Now listen, the person who truly benefits from wisdom is you.
Amen.
You. The principal person who benefits from gaining wisdom is the person who seeks wisdom and desires to be and to know all that God would have them to be and to know. When you have wisdom, you will then be given the understanding of what God wants for your life, how he wants you to utilize your life. He's walking and talking and dealing with you on a daily basis of your life, and you will see him unfold before your eyes through his word coming alive in your life and the decisions that you make. The end result is the person who seeks wisdom lives a long and fulfilling life, or certainly a qualitative life, regardless of the years lived. And if you will understand this, Jesus didn't live longer than 33 and a half years, but there was no other qualitative life as great as Jesus's life was, because he walked and lived in wisdom. See, everybody that lives to be old doesn't necessarily mean that they have walked in wisdom. It just meant that God took care of them in spite of them. Can I get a witness, somebody? Because I mean to tell you, I know there are days every one of us have made some bad decisions, were not disciplined, and sure weren't directed by the wisdom of God. And yet in spite of that, God still kept us, still blessed us. Can I get anybody to say amen if I'm telling the truth? And yet God wants you to know that you don't have to live by hit and miss. You can live by design. Do it like he said do, and expect from him what he said expect, and live a life of expectation where God keeps taking you to new levels and new levels, and you learn how to progressively plan and posture yourself in places where God would have you to be. And it won't be by coincidence, by accident, or by osmosis. You walked with God, you talked with God, you followed God, and you went right to where God wanted you to be. And then God then will make you an example for others to see what he's done through you, what he's done to you, what he's done with you, and what he's done for you. He will do for anyone else who wants the wisdom of God to be able to live life on a higher level. Now look again at what the Bible says in verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. You can't live with fools, and you can't live being a fool. If you really want to live, you're going to have to forsake foolishness. Listen at this now. Now, again, too many folk think they know about living, and you can't know about living unless you got some wisdom. You know, wisdom is such a wonderful thing, and I like the way God operates, and I've had the opportunity and the blessed ability to sit and to speak many times with senior saints, and you'd be amazed at the stories that they can tell you because they walked in wisdom. And when you walk in wisdom, God can reveal some things to you that you just couldn't find in books. God can show you how to do things and go around things, and he'll show you how to handle things when you have the wisdom of God. I go back and I share with you so many times when man puts you in predicaments and so forth, and you say, God, what shall I do? And you have his word before God will show you how to navigate right out of that situation, and before man know anything, God has gotten you and placed you on a level above him or her. You can't keep God's people down, even when you try to give them the bare necessities. All you got to do is look back at our people and look at how they were tried to be placed in captivity and placed underneath the feet and the authority of others. But even in that position, when they called on God, many of them couldn't read their names big as this wall, but God gave them the ability to figure out and how to maneuver and how to handle stuff. When they threw away stuff and said it wasn't no good, just take a pig. When they say, we don't want the feet, we don't want the guts, we don't want the ears, we don't want the, and they threw all that stuff away. Our people got it, started taking and making a delicacy out of guts and taking feet. And Lord, y'all not hearing me here today. And everything they threw away, God showed us how to take that, and you now they eat that as a delicacy when that was just survival food for us. Then God will show you how to take every situation you are in and handle it for your better good. God will show you how to take a dollar, buy you some rice, some beans, and some flour. I wish I had a witness. Of course, I'm still talking back about when they could go and buy 25 cents worth of rice and 30 cents worth of beans. Y'all don't hear me here today. Some of the older saints know what I'm talking about. And they were able to take that and make it. They could boil some onions in a pot and put a little garlic in it, and you think they had some major stuff going on up there. But they could take a little something and make it like it's a whole lot. They could take neck bones, make you eat your fingers to the bone. Oh, I wish I had somebody here.